My apologies, by the way, for telling you to read books that the GBC has forbidden us to read. If you're one of those people who read books even if the GBC tells you not to read them, then read that book. That's a better way to put it. Okay. On this eastern side of the Nectar of Devotion, which describes the varieties of devotional service. In the first wave, we've discussed devotional service in summary, and we've now made our way through the second wave, describing sadhana bhakti, devotional service in practice, both obligatory and spontaneous. Now in chapter 17, we enter the third wave, describing bhav bhakti, devotional service to Krishna in ecstasy. By performing devotional service in practice, first in vaidhi sadhana, then in raganuga sadhana, one gradually reawakens one's dormant affection for Krishna and comes to this stage, the stage of devotional service in ecstasy. This is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. E mata kore jeva raganuga bhakti krishner chorone tar upajoy priti. If one engages in spontaneous loving service to the Lord, raganuga bhakti, his affection for the lotus feet of Krishna gradually increases. Prityankude rati bhav hoidvi nam yaha hoite vashahana Sri Bhagavan. In the seed of affection, there's attachment, which goes by two names, rati and bhav. The Supreme Personality of Godhead comes under the control of such attachment. So, rati is another name of bhav, and that involves this seed of affection. Ankur means seed. It's not full love of Krishna, but it's the seed of love of Krishna. Premankur. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami defines bhava bhakti, shuddha sattva vishesha atma prema suryamshu samya bhak ruchibhis chitta masrinya kridaso bhava uchite. When devotional service is performed on the transcendental platform of pure goodness, it's like a ray of the sunlight of love for Krishna. At such a time, devotional service makes the heart soft by various tastes, and it's called bhav. So bhav is the preliminary stage of prema, pure love of Godhead. And it's compared to a small ray of sunlight, with prema being the full shining of the sun. So prema is just the preliminary stage. Bhava is just the preliminary stage of Krishna prema. Now, Hare Krishna. The waves of devotion clarifies further Srila Prabhupada's explanation. The primary characteristic of bhav is Shuddha sattva vishesha atma. It's the stage at which Shuddha sattva enters the heart of a devotee. What is Shuddha sattva? What's pure goodness? Well, what is it? Yeah, it's Vasudev sattva. What is it? It's not a when, what is it? We know it's when, but what is Sudha Sattva? Yes, it's Krishna's internal energy. It's also called Chit Shakti or Sarup Shakti. It's Krishna's internal energy. And when one reaches this stage, this internal energy enters the heart of the devotee and revives his eternal love for Krishna. The internal energy, we know, has three features. What are those?
Nadini, Samvrit, and
Sandini. Yes. Sandini, Samvid, and Ladini. Sandini is the existence potency, Samvid is the knowledge potency, and Ladini, the pleasure potency. So especially it's emphasized here that by the Samvid feature, one gets a clear understanding of Krishna, and through the Ladini feature, one relishes service to Krishna. So as one reaches this bhava stage, this samvit feature and ladini feature of the internal energy are acting in his heart. So he's getting a perception, he's perceiving the presence of Krishna, and his heart is changing on account of the transcendental pleasure potency. Okay, clear? Pretty theoretical at this point. We're not quite there yet. Yes? It's also there. It's Krishna's existence potency. This is all happening on the platform of eternal existence. Not left out. But Samvid and Ladini are particularly mentioned in this regard. The secondary characteristics of bhav are chitta mrsnya krit, it softens the heart, and it does so by giving various tastes, ruchi bhi. That's described in Srimad Bhagavatam. We mentioned this verse the other day. Tadashma saram hridayam bhateram yad griyamanayar harinam adheyai na vikriyetata yada vikaro netre jalam gatra ruhesha ruheshu harsha. If you're chanting the holy name and concentrating on the sound and the heart doesn't change and there's no ecstasy and the tears are not filling the eyes and the hairs are just sitting the way they usually do instead of standing on end, that means that our heart is framed with steel. So that's our situation in the material existence. Our hearts are steel framed. Therefore we hear about Krishna's pastimes, we hear the holy name of Krishna, we see the deity of Krishna, and then we go out and smoke a cigarette because it didn't make much of a difference. Or we just go on with our devotional activities, but without much feeling. It's our job, it's our duty, we do the things that we're supposed to do, but we don't feel these transformations taking place. But when the internal energy enters the heart and makes it soft, and one gets these various tastes, then these symptoms start to appear. All these characteristics, again, indicate that bhava appears, as Prabhupada says, when one is actually elevated onto the transcendental stage, beyond the material modes of nature. This simply does not happen when we're still infected by rajagun, tamagun, or even sattvagun. Vishuddha sattva. It happens on the platform of spiritual existence, not while the heart is still contaminated. Srila Prabhupada comments, therefore, that in the bhava stage, one is on the Uttamadhikari platform, the platform of perfect devotion. Notice again that Uttamadhikari word coming up, which means different things at different times or used in different contexts at different times. Here Prabhupada uses it as the platform of perfect devotion. He doesn't compare it to other stages. He just says Uttamadhi, Bhaktir Uttama. At this stage, Prabhupada says, the devotee has no agitation for material affections and is interested only in the service of Radha Krishna. This stage, then these transformations start to appear, these symptoms of ecstasy start to appear, and even when they're not manifest externally, they're always going on within. And Srila Prabhupada calls this samadhi. Where is samadhi described? Where, oh where?
Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, where? Bhagavad Gita.
Sixth.
Sixth chapter?
Oh, I don't know the verse number.
Well, I don't know it either, except I have it in front of me, but I never know the numbers. Someone know the Sanskrit?
Oh, I know.
It's like 20, those four
yeah.
Together.
Mm-hmm.
It's 20 to 23 or something.
Yeah, 19 through 23, I think. Yata dipo nivatasto nengate sopamasraha yogino yata chittasya yunjato yogamatmanaha. As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendent self. Yunjato yogamatmanaha. Who's the transcendent self?
Krishna.
So as the example is very nice, that where the wind is there, then that lamp, that flame is going dancing all around. When there's no wind, nivatasto, just steady. So the Prabhupada says the pure devotee, or the devotee in ecstasy, it feels no agitation from material affections, because he doesn't have any. He's only interested in the service of Radha Krishna. Yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chayavatmanatmanam pashyanatmani tushyati sukham atyantikam yattat buddhi grayam atindriyam veti yatra nachayavayam stitas chalati tattvataha yam labdva chapram labha manyate nagikam tataha yasmin stito na dukkena guruna api vijalite tam vidya dukkha sanyoga vyogam yoga sangitam. In the stage of perfection called trance or samadhi, the mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness realized through transcendental senses, buddhi grahya matindriya. Established thus, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks there's no greater gain. Situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of the greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So this is samadhi. What is that? Rishikesham, Rishikena, Rishikesham Sevanam. His transcendental senses are engaged in the service of the master of the senses, Krishna. His body, mind, words, everything are absorbed in the service of the Lord. So the mind is completely restrained from material activities because it's absorbed in spiritual activities. He's not just trying to hold it in check, but he's positively absorbed the mind in the service of Krishna. So, which is the difference between the yogis and the devotees. The yogis are just trying to check the mind, and therefore the heart is becoming harder. But the devotee is absorbing the mind in Krishna, so his heart is becoming softer. But it's not soft for material enjoyment. It's dead to material enjoyment. But it's soft for the transcendental service of the Lord. Clear? Okay. In the beginning of the chapter, as Dhanadhar Maharaj points out, there's some terminology that might confuse us. You can read his analysis in the book. The main point is that bhav bhakti is beyond, not within, the stage of vaidhi bhakti. And in fact, it's beyond sadhana bhakti altogether. That should be pretty clear, yeah? It gets a little intricate because we get into categories and subcategories and sub-subcategories. But the summary is that this is not within the category of sadhana. We've passed sadhana now. This is a spontaneous stage of affection for Krishna that's strongly appearing within the heart, giving the signs of the beginning of love for Krishna. The seed of love for Krishna is now sprouting. Okay. We might recall from the second chapter the characteristics of pure devotional service. Who remembers them? Devotional service in practice has two qualities. In bhav, four qualities. In prem, six qualities. What are the two qualities in sadhana bhakti? Kreshagni and Shubhada. What does that mean? Freedom from all miseries and?
All
auspicious. These are the two qualities in practice. And now in bhav, we get two more qualities. Yes?
Moksha lagu krit.
Moksha lagu krit. It makes moksha seem like a fig.
And sudurlabha,
extremely rare. Why is it so rare? Krishna is not giving it out. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Yaha Hete Vashahanna Sri Bhagavan. By this bhav, the personality of Godhead comes under the control of the devotee. Vasha means control. And Krishna doesn't want to be controlled by any imbecile, any rascal. He only comes under the control of his internal potency. The internal potency controls even Krishna. The external potency never controls Krishna. Never controls Krishna. Mama Maya Duratya. Mayad Yakshena Prakriti Suyate. Satyaratra. Material potency is always working under Krishna's absolute direction. But even Krishna comes under the control of his own internal potency. So therefore he rarely gives this bhav bhakti. And also, we rarely undergo enough, you know, how many of us are serious enough to go for it? So it's sudurlabha. Sudurlabha, very rare. It's even rare to take up bhakti, period. Bahunam janmanamante. And bhav bhakti is still more rare. Now, how does one achieve this bhav bhakti? Yes?
By practicing sadhana, vaidhi bhakti, then you get heart becomes purified and genuine longing for Krishna becomes present, and then this service in this world has the tendency to involve Krishna's master.
Yes? What's your name? Patrick, you're the new guy.
Yeah.
Okay. There are two ways that one achieves Bhava Bhakti. One is by ardent practice, devout practice of regulative devotional service, sadhana bhakti, which begins with vaidhi bhakti and continues up to raganuga bhakti. By ardent practice. And the other way is by the mercy of Krishna or his devotees, special mercy. If Krishna wants, here, take bhava bhakti. Or if a devotee so desires, here, take bhava bhakti. But Srila Prabhupada comments that this is very uncommon. And what's the comparison that he gives? Yes?
That someone may be given the honorary title, even though they haven't gone to that university.
Yeah, someone gets an honorary degree. Just like Rabindranath Tagore, the Nobel Prize-winning poet of Bengal, got an honorary degree from Oxford. I think he never attended university, but he got an art... In any case, he got an honorary degree from Oxford. So now if one thinks, well, why should I go to college? I'll just get an honorary degree like Rabindranath Tagore. That's not recommended. How many people get honorary degrees? Not a very common thing, especially from Oxford. They don't give them out so easily. So one should think, well, I'd better enroll then. I'd better apply, enroll, pay my fees, do the coursework, and then get the degree. That's the standard way of getting a college degree. And if you think, no, I'll just get an honorary degree, you're quite likely to be disappointed. Therefore, Prabhupada, in sum, says, one should devoutly execute the regulative principles and at the same time hope for Krishna's favor or his devotees' favor. Within the regulative principles, you're right, it depends on the pleasing the spiritual master. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasad. It's not that, well, I'll just follow all the regular principles, and if my spiritual master is pleased, that's good, and if he's not pleased, doesn't matter. As long as I'm strictly following the regular principles, then I'm sure to go back to Godhead. No. Regulative devotional service means anukul yena, favorably. What's favorable? I have to act in such a way that the spiritual master will be pleased, then Krishna will be pleased. There's a process here in regulative devotional service. It's not just that I pick and choose whatever I think Krishna would like. Krishna would like what his pure devotee approves of. That's our method, or what the pure devotee specifically asks of us. Then, Bhagavat Prasad, then we get the mercy of Krishna. Everything, even although we're talking about two methods, one method is special mercy of Krishna or the devotee, and the other is by practice, but the practice also depends on mercy of Krishna and his devotee. No one can attain Krishna just by practice. But the practice has to be done in such a way that Prabhupada said Krishna will want to see you. Don't try to see Krishna, but try to act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. when Krishna is pleased by your service, then Sevan Mukhi Jivado Svayameva Spratya. Then he reveals himself. It depends on that. It's not that by my service I can force Krishna. But Krishna becomes pleased. Yes, this person is serving my devotee. He's following all these regular principles so seriously. He's hearing about me, chanting about me. He's making progress in attraction to me. So then, by Krishna's grace, one comes to this stage. Now, Prabhupada gives an example of bhava achieved by sadhana in the life of Narad Muni. What's Narad Muni's history? Oh, you all know it. Come on, sluggards. What's the history? Out with it. No looking in the book. What's the history? You know.
He served great devotees.
And?
And he obtained a love from God.
Well, that's the quickest possible summary. What happened in between? That's it. He just rendered service and got love of Godhead.
Next thing, the remnants of the food,
right?
By these great devotees.
And then
gradually purified his heart and he listened to the Krishna Katha and the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Tatranvaham Krishna Katha Pragayatam Anugrahin Ashranavam Manohara. In their association and by their mercy, I could hear them describe the activities, the attractive activities of Krishna. Krishna Katha Manohara Anugrahina. By their mercy, Ashranavam, I got to hear. Ta Shrataya Me Nupadam Prashindata. Priyash Shravasyanga Mama Bhavadruchi. And by hearing very carefully, my taste for hearing of Krishna began increasing at every step. So he was serving, and he took a little of their Mahaprasad, and especially it's mentioned, he was hearing and hearing. Krishna Katha Pragayatam. They were very nicely describing Krishna Katha. They were he was hearing. Tasmin tada labta rucher mahamate priyashravas yas kalita matir mama yayaham etat sarasat svamaya pashe mayi brahmani kalpitantre. So as soon as I got a taste for Krishna, my attention for hearing about the Lord became fixed, unflinching, prophets. Love the Rucher. Got this strong taste and strong attraction. And I could realize that it was only in ignorance that I had accepted the gross and subtle bodies, that Krishna is transcendental, I am transcendental. He became attractive. Yes. I'm coming to that, yeah.
Simultaneously, the execution of the practices of devotional service. Because pure devotee automatically implies practice of devotional service. So my question is, does the execution of the practice of devotional service depend on the association of pure devotee?
Yes. How else do you even get the seed of devotional service? Unless you get the association of devotees, how do you even get started?
Especially this term pure devotee, I'm going for this.
Well, pure devotees is a very interesting term. We're going to talk about it in the Nectar of Instruction course. It's one of those terms like Uttama Bhakti, Uttama Adhikari, and several other terms that Prabhupada uses in many different ways. You'll have a hard time pinning Prabhupada down to one limited, explicit meaning for pure devotee. Sometimes it means, you know, the absolute absolutely highest, self-realized, perfect devotee. And sometimes it means anyone who's joined ISKCON. Prabhupada said, all of my disciples are pure devotees. The first thing is that it does not mean those who are not following in the sampradaya system, those who are professionals, those who are mayavadis. They're not pure devotees by any stretch. Do not hear from them. What is that? Sanatana Goswami says, Sarpochishta yata paya. What is that? Naiva kartavyam. Mukod girinam. What is that? Avaishnava mukod girinam. Bhutam harikatam yata. Shravana naiva kartavyam. Sarpochishta yata paya. He says, from the mouth of a non-Vaishnava, do not hear Harikatha. Do not hear Harikatha. Shravana naiva kartavya. Na eva kartavya. It should not be done. Sarpa uchchishta yatapaya. Just as one should not take milk touched by the lips of a serpent, one should not take Harikatha from the mouths of the non-Vaishnavas. Very strictly. Oh, but everyone's going, big Pandal festival, 100,000 people are attending, he's speaking for 7 nights, his picture is everywhere, they're having TV monitors every 10 feet. Is he a Vaishnav? No, he's a professional. Next week he'll be speaking Shiva Katha. Next week, Devi Katha. But he speaks so nicely, and he's got these nice musicians with him, and it's really wonderful. No. Shravana naiva kartavya. The professionals, the mayavadis, mayavadi pasha shunile hoy sarvanash. If one hears from the mayavadis, he loses everything. Everything's spoiled by hearing from the mayavadis. We shouldn't hear from the mayavadis, we shouldn't hear from the professionals, we shouldn't hear from the prakriti sadhyas.
What about scholars?
You know,
some of our devotees are attending.
No, we shouldn't hear Krishna. If we think that we're going to understand Krishna by hearing from the scholars, we've got it wrong. Scholars do not have chit shakti residing within their hearts, enlightening them in love of Krishna. They have avidya shakti, the potency of ignorance, covering them. They have jnana, maya prita jnana. They have knowledge which in fact has been stolen by illusion. You can call them jnanis. And Rupa Goswami says that kind of jnana, is not favorable for devotional service. And therefore we see that people go to, you know, some college and learn all about the Vaishnava religion from the scholars, and the next thing you know, they're back in the material world. They've given up chanting, they're not wearing tilak anymore, not wearing neck beads, not following any sadhana, because now they understand, you know, the Bhagavad Gita was written last Tuesday. So many things. They've become intellectuals. But they've lost the opportunity to engage in the service of Krishna. Now, very carefully, sometimes one may hear from some scholar in some authorized program for strategically introducing Krishna consciousness, but it's risky business. Prabhupada told Rabindra Swarup Prabhu when he was studying religion at Temple University that it was all right for him to read Sharirakpasha. Sharirakpasha means Shankaracharya's commentary on Vedanta Sutra. He said, yes, you can, it's all right. But that doesn't mean now we'll all go out and read Shankaracharya in order to see what, let me at least see what he's saying and get totally confused in Krishna consciousness. But sometimes the spiritual master may give permission for some particular program. Otherwise, we see so many people are shot down. You know, they're going to enter the university, but instead the university enters them. So one has to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Our statement that once like the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam introduced also in the scientific method to scientists and so on.
Yes. You could speak louder, please.
Yeah, like it's the same to know how to describe the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam in the scientific method so that the scientists can also understand
it. Yeah, he told that to the scientists.
Okay.
There were some people who had graduate degrees in science, so Prabhupada said, use your, what is the use of your degree? Use it for glorifying Krishna in scientific language. But it doesn't mean that Prabhupada was instructing us, now you all go out there and start going back to university and studying science and no. For some people it may be a good program, but it doesn't mean now everybody do it. But for some people it's good. Not that, you know, and that sometimes we saw that with Prabhupada, that everybody, you know, as soon as Prabhupada said something was good, everybody wanted to do it. You know, book distribution is the most important thing. You know, now all the Gurukula teachers want to leave and go on book distribution. The Pujaris want to go on book distribution. Or taking, you know, getting married, taking care of family is very important. Now everybody's going to leave their, you know, leave the book distribution party and get married and maintain a family. You know, as soon as Prabhupada authorized something or recommended that something was good, and everybody's going there, you know, like little, what are they called, lemmings that, you know, they all run. So one should carefully execute devotional service under the spiritual master's direction and understand what for him is the right thing to do. What for me is right may not be right for you. What for you is right may not be good for me. Therefore, the spiritual master's direction is required. Okay. Did we cover what we were talking about? I think so. So, in this history of Narad Muni, we see very nicely what's at work here. That he's hearing, he's serving, he's tasting some Mahaprasadam, and by going on in that way, he's, change is happening. A change is taking place. That book is called Krishna Consciousness, The Change in Heart. That's the second canto, Change in Heart. By worshipping the deity, the heart is changing. And this is described more explicitly by Lord Kapildev. Satam prasangan mamavirya samdido vavanti hrit karnarasayana katha tach joshanad ashvapavargavartmani shradharatir bhaktir anukramishati. Anukramishati means step by step. This is what's happening step by step. The first thing is satam prasanga, to associate with pure devotees. Satam means pure devotees. Asata ma satkam. Don't associate with the materialists. But satam prasanga. Association with pure devotees. And in that association, mama virya samdhaga, the Krishna katha becomes powerful. Virya means potency. That potency is realized in the association. In the association of the Mayavadis, the scholars, the professionals, it's not realized. We get some mundane, intellectual, pleasure, or we get some agitation of the mind for thoughts of sense enjoyment in some divine context, and we think that we're getting some sort of realization, but actually we're not getting the realization that comes from the spiritual platform. But when we associate with pure devotees, then mama virya sanjana, then the real potency of Krishna Katha is realized. And the symptom is Bhavanti Hrit Karna Rasayana Katha, that the Krishna Katha becomes very relishable, pleasing and satisfying. Rasayana Bhavanti Hrit Karna, for the heart and for the ear. Oh, this Krishna Katha is so nice. Taj Joshanad Ashu Apavargavartmini. In this way, one is traversing the path of liberation. Liberation doesn't mean merging with the Supreme. It means I'm not this body, life is not meant for sense gratification. My real life is devotional service. Ashu means quickly. Na chirat partha. Quickly. Taj Joshana, by that cultivation, anukulyena Krishna Anushila. And the result is Shraddha, Rati, Bhakti, Anukramishati. Step by step, one's getting faith, greater and greater interest, then attraction and pure devotional service. This is what's happening. So therefore, exactly right, when Prabhupada talks about achieving bhava, ecstasy, by fixed practice, he refers to this as perfection achieved by constant association with pure devotees. Because in the association of pure devotees, that's where we'll follow effectively the process of sadhana bhakti and awaken our love for Krishna. Prabhupada explains, when a pure devotee speaks, his words act upon the hearts of the audience. What's the secret of hearing and chanting? A professional speaker cannot impress transcendental ecstasy within the hearts of the listeners. He doesn't have it. However, when a realized soul who's engaged in the service of the Lord is speaking, he has the potency to inject spiritual life within the audience. Doesn't matter. He's very educated, not very educated. He's a big scholar, he's not a big scholar. But if he's a devotee of Krishna, who's actually absorbed in the service of the Lord, his words will act. One should therefore seek the association of such pure, unalloyed devotees, and by such association and service, a neophyte devotee will certainly develop attachment, love, and devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here again, we should seek out the association of an advanced devotee, a pure devotee, unalloyed devotee. That will have potency. We see that practically when the person who's not sure himself says, well, actually Krishna consciousness is very nice. Yeah? Then why are you, you know, looking at all the girls and everything else? But when a pure devotee who's convinced about the science and absorbed in devotional service, when he speaks, there's potency there. Potency even when the neophyte devotee speaks, but not as great as the potency imparted by the pure devotee, or the potency felt in the association of an advanced devotee. Okay? Any questions so far?
I want to ask, here in the way for devotion, it's written that you can achieve Bhava Bhakti through Vaidisanaga and through Nanda Nuga. So it looks like it's not necessary to pass through Nanda Nuga.
Seems that way. Krishna desires, right from Vaidhi you can be promoted. Go to the head of the class. And the examples there, Narad Muni. Basically, he followed the process of Vaidhi and he took the accelerated course.
I just was thinking, but because in Raganuga you start to follow the godliness.
It means it's practice. You follow these regulative principles of hearing and chanting and so on, and then you come to the advanced stage of hearing and chanting where you think about a particular associate and covet the desire to serve in the mood of that associate, to follow in that person's, that pure devotee's footsteps, that eternal associate's footsteps. Then from there you go further. But here it seems with Narada, he just followed the regulative principles, and just by hearing and chanting and the mercy of the devotees, he just sped right ahead. He went right ahead. Didn't practice any. It's just like we see sometimes. Someone is practicing and becomes so good that, you know, in the advanced course, you know, you can skip the, you know, this grade. It means you've already taken that course. You've already taken that course. Actually, there are so many steps. Everyone has to go step by step by step by step. But we saw earlier, sometimes from the very beginning, someone's really attracted to hearing and chanting. Normally, we have to sit you down and say, now it's very important to read Srimad Bhagavatam. And you have to, you know, every day you should at least for 1 hour read Srimad Bhagavatam. Did you read your chapter today? Okay, good. Now you've got the habit of reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Good. Now we'll take on the next thing. But sometimes someone joins and he just wants to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. The person's got such a taste. I'll tell you. When Mahavishnu Maharaj, Gujarati Maharaj, Mahavishnu Maharaj, I first met him at Soho Street in London. And he was coming to the temple every day. There was a Sunday, not a Sunday, every day there was like a prasadam program to attract people. We would have a talk and then prasadam, free prasadam. And that way we get so many, you know, everyone's traveling through London, we get so many people coming, and some of them would stick and become devotees. And he was coming, now let's see, was he coming then or was he coming in the morning? Maybe he was coming in the morning, now that I think about it. Coming in the morning to the Bhagavatam class. And, you know, everybody's sleeping and, you know, listening to some extent. And, you know, this man is like, whew, he's just, you know, like, you can see he's enjoying, he's hearing, he's totally enlivened. And some of the neophyte devotees thought, oh, this old man is just coming for prasadam. This old man is just coming for prasadam. But actually, you could see that he just had such a taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. He loved to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and especially Prabhupada, you know, after, apart from the class, he would go home and read Srimad Bhagavatam. His wonderful taste for Srimad. So you don't have to sit such a person down and say, that's very important to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he's got this wonderful taste. And that was, you know, the beginning when he was first coming home. So sometimes we see that at some stage someone is already graduated this, or even an advanced stage. just by the mercy of the Bhaktivedantas, just by hearing from them. He became so advanced, he just skipped right to Pav. Right. But again, it's not that we're all going to start skipping grades here. Yes?
Also, like in the statement in the grades of devotion, Raghunuga Sarada does not entail rejection of Vaidhi, but actually requires a more focused concentration upon particular aspects conducted to the individual devotee's particular ability.
This is the most important point. It's not that the more we advance, the less we care about the regulative principles of devotional service. On the contrary, the more we advance, the more we get absorbed in them. The more we get absorbed in hearing, in chanting, in remembering, in serving. That includes preaching, which is kirtanam, and carrying out the orders of the spiritual master, dasyam. It's not that now, you know, the regulative principles are for the neophytes. The symptom of the advanced devotee is that he's more absorbed in the regulative principles. He's a pakka sadhaka. You look at a devotee who's in ecstasy, and he's the devotee who's the most serious about sadhana. The neophyte devotee is not so serious about sadhana. He's only doing it because he's got to. He doesn't have spontaneous... His hairs are not standing on end when he sees the deity. He's going because the spiritual master said, you've got to get up early every day and see the deity. You have to go to Mangalore. So he's going. Wipes the sleep out of his eyes and goes. But the devotee who's in ecstasy is rushing to the temple to see the deity with his mind completely absorbed in the deity. There's a difference. Who's going to be more serious about sadhana? The advanced devotee. The neophyte devotee is sitting in Bhagavatam class looking at his watch. And the advanced devotee, what is that in Vayam tu na vitripyama uttama shloka vikrame yachindatam rasagyanam svadu svadu padetya. We never tire of hearing this, as Arjuna also said. I never go on speaking. The more you speak, the better it's getting. They feel that way. Go on speaking, it's relishable at every step. Yes.
I would like to ask about, I don't know if you mentioned this, about symptoms which neophyte devotees, like that phenomena, beginner's enthusiasm, which lasts, like, you know, when somebody comes to Krishna consciousness and he's like very enthusiastic, he preaches, you know, and he may induce so many people, you know, to Krishna consciousness, but actually, I mean, what is actually that, where he gets to that?
By association. By association, he's come, and now he's, you know, he's caught up in the wave. He's feeling something also. And sometimes he starts to think that he's really advanced. Then he's in trouble.
And also the statement that the basic qualification to practice spontaneous devotional bhakti service, like the basic qualification of Raghunuga Bhakti is natural spontaneous desire to serve Krishna in a specific relationship, a desire that can be evoked by hearing about the eternal residence of Vrindavan, the gradual development of this ambition to become like a particular devotee. And my question, yesterday you spoke about this Gopi Bhav Club. Mm-hmm. And it looked like they tried to just to do this, but their fault was like they didn't do it on the order of the spiritual master.
That was the first fault. They didn't do it on the. They thought, okay, this is how. This is it. You hear about a particular devotee. This is the advanced stage. You think about a particular. You hear about a particular type. These topics that develops your taste. That taste develops, and then you start. your mind becomes attracted to a particular kind of service, and then, you know, you get it. So they read all about it, and they thought this is the way to go. This is the process. Hear and, you know, get a particular kind of hearing, concentrated hearing, and develop that taste. The problem was, A, they weren't authorized by the spiritual master to hear in that particular way, and B, they were jumping ahead of themselves. Raghunuga sadhana bhakti is not performed by devotees who think, well, intellectually, this Madhurya Leela is the highest, so that's where we should go. So we should hear these topics about Madhurya Leela, and hear these topics only. First of all, we should only hear about Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is the top. Then in Vrindavan, we should really only hear about Madhurya Leela, because otherwise we might go to some other rasa. That's not Raghunuga sadhana. It's not an intellectual decision to hear about a particular topic so that, you know, that you can go for the prize. It's not that at all. It's something that spontaneously takes place.
And simultaneously can be evoked by hearing.
Yes, but that hearing is not, let me hear only about this. That's a kind of pretense. What I'm saying is, my taste is for this. But you're not qualified to have that taste. You're not, your heart is not so pure that you've realized which particular taste you're inclined toward in your liberated position. Rather, it's something else. Either it's an intellectual idea that, okay, A is higher than B, B is higher than C, let's go for A. Or it's A, you know, be the first one on your block. They're only hearing about Lord Varaha. I'm hearing about Krishna and Lalita and Vishakha. And have you heard this one? And it's okay for the, you know, the other people to be, you know, the people who are kind of okay, the slogging it out, to be hearing about, oh, Prahlad and Shringadev, or about Maharaj Prithu, Dhritarasura. But Prabhupada wanted us really to follow in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. That's why he came. So you nitwits can go on hearing that stuff. But those of us who are really, you know, discriminating customers, those of us who've got, you know, some refinement and some taste and some advancement around here, you know, we're going to go for the good stuff. So it's another form of material false prestige. I've got something you don't have. I've got something you don't have. I know something you don't know. I know something you don't know. That's not Raghunuga Bhakti. That's pride, false prestige, material contamination. That's false ego, ahamkara. Anyabhilashita, shunyam. These things have to be crossed out, brought down to zero. Anyabhilashita shunyam. Not that by devotional service I'm becoming the best, by devotional service. I'm becoming the most famous by devotional service. I'm becoming the most advanced by devotional service. I'm the one whose Mahaprasadam they all want to take. Not at all. Or one is thinking that really we are advanced. You know, I've practiced for so many years, now I'm qualified. Are you really qualified? Is the heart really free from all anartas? Because that's the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti. Raghunuga Bhakti is performed on the Anartha Nivritti platform. Anartha. Artha means some interest. All other interests, shunya. Finished. No more sex attraction, for instance. Are you on that platform? When she walks by, you don't notice. Or you don't care. Transformations don't take place in the physical and mental body. Are you on that platform?
Maharaj, last weekend we watched the last official lecture given by Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. And he said that now it's time to enter the Nirjan Bhajan. And because he had a call, like Prabhupada was instructing him somehow or other, now it's time to enter the realm of Raghunuga Bhakti and desire runs and just absorb in Vrindavan pastimes. So can we take him as like an example? So at his stage of consciousness it was proper to do this, and then he got spontaneously he got this instruction from
Certainly at the time of leaving this world it's acceptable to, it's recommended, absorb your mind in thinking of Krishna. You have nothing else to do. You read Bhagavatam, what is it? If you really want to be fearless at the time of death, then you should hear and chant about Krishna. Hare Naam Anukirtanam, constantly hear about Krishna. And what's the greatest duty for a person who's about to die, which of course means any of us, but especially a person who's got notice, just hear about Krishna. But it's not that Bhaktivedanta Maharaj entered seclusion and then only heard about, you know, Madhurya Leela. Not that. But he thought, you know, he told me, you know, I still have this, I'm still thinking I'm a GBC man, I'm still thinking I'm Bhaktivedanta Swami, I'm still thinking in terms of these bodily designations. I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. So let me just hear. Not that he, even that so-called Nirjan and Bhajan, it wasn't that he just went off to a cave somewhere. He surrounded himself actually with advanced devotees. Radhanath Maharaj was there, Dhananar Maharaj was there, other devotees were there. He was hearing in their association. Not, you know, just off by himself. But if I'm going to die, let me hear and chant. Yes.
Maharaj, can one say that these devotees who want to jump ahead to this Raghunuga is that they don't actually have a genuine serving desire, but they have an enjoyment attitude? They want to.
Yeah, it's an enjoying spirit. Wow, it sounds so juicy. Wow, and you know, naturally, it's attractive. When we hear the description of bhava, that one's heart is illuminated like the sun, one has these tastes, one feels these ecstasy. Even on the original Hare Krishna record album that Prabhupada produced, on the back, there was a quotation. It brings a state of ecstasy. Allen Ginsberg. You know, I'm sure that our Ginsberg, as Prabhupada used to call him, I'm sure that our Ginsberg wasn't familiar with the science as explained in Nectar of Devotion, and therefore didn't really know what ecstasy is in the detailed way that we're hearing about from Srila Rupa Goswami. But still, the idea is there. Wow, this is good. There's some transcendental feeling. Something is happening here by chanting. It brings a state of ecstasy. So I looked at the album and thought, wow, you know, I'd like to be in ecstasy. I'm going to buy this record. So it's okay to want to be in ecstasy, but we have to do that which is conducive to ecstasy at our stage. It's not that because ecstasy is the highest thing, bhav bhakti or prema bhakti, I can just, boom, go for the top, just skip everything else and go there. We had one person who thought he was going to take LSD and get up there. The shortcut. One way to soften the heart. Soften the mind.
Yeah. One more question below. To which extent we can use, like, speaking about bhava and prema and this, all this ecstasy to evoke like the eagerness in the devotees. You know, how far, to which extent we can use this for preaching, speak about such topics.
Well, you can see to what extent Prabhupada used it. He mentions it.
Stay high forever.
Well, that wasn't Prabhupada's line, stay high forever. But, but Prabhupada mentions ecstasy, ecstatic devotional service. He mentions ecstasy, he mentions prema, love of Godhead. But do you find that in his public lectures he's talking about always meditating on a particular kind of service of a particular resident of Vrindavan, so that the heart is being, Prabhupada's not talking about these things to the general audience and explaining to them that, you know, what they'll feel and so on. No. Ecstasy, yeah, generally ecstasy. Ecstasy means feels good. But precisely what that ecstasy is, what are the details of that ecstasy, how one reaches that ecstasy, is not the general subject matter. If you hear Prabhupada, it's again and again, you're not this body. Again and again, four regulative principles, 16 rounds. And all of these regulative principles of devotional service. And what kind of regulative principles? Full with hearing, with chanting, these five most potent things: to stay in Vrindavan, to associate with devotees, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to chant the holy name of the Lord, to worship the deity. All of these things Prabhupada is pushing and pushing and pushing. And he's reminding us, it's not just mechanical. Oh, the spiritual master has told me I have to do this worship. But he's saying our purpose is to become mad after Krishna. The Goswamis are mad after Krishna. Prabhupada's talking about these things. It's not that, again, that these things are skipped over. But one has to know what prescription works for whom. And especially what prescription works for me. And if I don't know, then I have to take direction. So Prabhupada saw that these people are premature. They're jumping. They're not qualified. But they're thinking that by jumping, they'll become qualified. You know, just like we say devotional service, they first sit on the judge's bench and then develop the qualifications. So that has its place. But that place is not here. Prabhupada didn't approve them. No, first you just hear about Krishna and the gopis and to the exclusion of everything else, and then you'll develop, you'll become a gopi also. No, Prabhupada said you'll become polluted. Just the wrong thing. Rather, the healthy thing is that you go on hearing Bhagavatam, you go on hearing, go on hearing, go on hearing. Go on chanting, go on serving the deity. And a change will take place. It'll go from, oh man, you gotta go to the Bhagavatam class, to, wow, you know, wonder what he's gonna talk about today. And from there it goes into, you know, you want to read, after the class you want to do some more research and find out something more from Srimad Bhagavatam. And you want to go on reading and you go on talking with the other devotees, you know. He said this, what did you think about that? You know, and it was so far out that this had this. Go on remembering and remembering the different subject matters and telling others. And it increases your eagerness to serve. You want to go out and tell people to chant Hare Krishna. You want to sell these books. Why should they be only for us? Other people should get them. When there's a festival in the temple, you want to come and you want to bring other people. Prabhupada, one devotee, was preaching that the book distributors are actually in the mood of the gopis. Because as the gopis want to, you know, bring some other gopi to Krishna, these book distributors are bringing other living entities to Krishna. So he was preaching like that, you know, in this little kind of Rus reference, that this is something like Krishna and the gopis preaching and distributing books. And some devotees naturally began complaining, you know, that, you know, I mean, give us a break, okay? So the devotee wrote to Prabhupada, someone wrote to Prabhupada and said, this is what he's preaching. And Prabhupada said, yes. Prabhupada said, yes, it is correct. You know, we're thinking that this is like, this is like neophyte stuff. You know, you're just salesmen, you're going out there and selling books. This is work. But work, you know, the Bhagavad Gita says that for the neophyte in the yoga system, work is said to be the means. You're just going out there and doing this work, selling books. With the advanced devotees, you know, they get together and they hear and chant about Krishna. And they, you know, relish these. No, you haven't understood. Nityananda Prabhu was not a neophyte devotee. Haridas Thakur is not a neophyte devotee. It's not that they were preaching because they didn't have a taste. Preaching is not simply the work of neophytes. Prabhupada didn't come to America because he got tired of Radha Damodar and you know, enough of this Krishna stuff, and I want to get out there and see America. No. Prabhupada was on the highest level of realization, so he felt this strong impetus to give this to others. Prabhupada said to me, or in a meeting where I was there, Prabhupada said that my Guru Maharaj noted this, that this boy likes to hear. You know the story, how Prabhupada was hearing. The others went to see some temple. Prabhupada thought, what will I see? Let me hear from Guru Maharaj. And his Guru Maharaj noted it and said, this boy likes to hear. And Prabhupada said, because I was serious about hearing Shravanam, now I'm serious about kirtan, preaching. Preaching is not, you know, a neophyte business. Those who are on the highest level of devotional service take pleasure in preaching. It's kirtan. As shravanam is one of the items of devotional service, kirtanam equally is an item of devotional service. And the devotees take pleasure. You know, the neophyte devotee, even the neophyte devotee will feel some pleasure repeating what he's heard from his spiritual master. And he'll make some advancement simply repeating what he's heard from the spiritual master. And what to speak of the advanced devotee. The advanced devotee relishes speaking the message of Krishna and not simply speaking, you know, the most intimate subject matters, but any subject matter about Krishna. Prabhupada was relishing speaking Krishna's message. How will they understand their message? Meditating on how to present everything in Srimad Bhagavatam, how to present nectar of devotion, how to present teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This is not simply, in the beginning, work is said to be the means. This is the activity of a devotee situated in perfect love for Krishna. So it's not that, of course, it's not that every preacher is on the platform of, you know, Krishna Prema or Raghunuga Bhakti or they're all Uttam. He's got a book bag on his shoulder, he must be an Uttamadikari. But this is a highly effective means for advancing in devotional service. Nachatasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakritama. Krishna says, no one is more dear to me than the person who's preaching my message. But if you become dear to Krishna, aren't you going to make progress? Now, it shouldn't just be that we're, you know, salesmen. And Prabhupada used to criticize that, you know, say there's some meeting of a book distributor and a customer, and the devotee says, oh, you should take this book, you should read this book, and the customer says, oh, what's in it? And the devotee says, well, I don't know, I haven't read it, but you should take it. So that's not the point either. We should read these. Prabhupada used to say, you know, I'm writing these books for you. They're not simply for selling, they're for reading. But they're not simply for reading, they're also for selling. Not because we're, you know, that's how we make a living, but because that's our mission. That's the mission of our acharyas, is to spread this knowledge for the benefit of lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane. Rupa Goswami was writing this book, his other, for the benefit of the whole world. So when we're distributing these books, this is not karma kandiya, ordinary activity. And therefore, Prabhupada emphasized, he didn't like it. The devotees were simply selling, you know, records or stuff. Prabhupada didn't consider this to be the same. They should distribute my books. That's preaching. So, again, these activities, the regulative activities, the hearing, the chanting, the deity worship, these are all essential. All these 64 items of devotional service, they're meant for everyone, not just for the beginners. And this is a trap from Maya that, well, the regulative principles are for neophytes. I've, you know, now the last 20 years I've done all these things. And then you become slack and then boom. You know, whoever fell down by thinking, I'm not very advanced. You know, how many men have we lost because they thought, oh, I'd better go to Bhagavatam class. I don't know about you, but I got to chant these rounds every day or else. You know, how many people have we ever lost that way? And how many men have we lost because they thought that, well, for, you know, for a higher purpose, if I'm not chanting, if I'm just, you know, doing the spiritual master's work, or if I'm not attending the class, well, you know, anyway, who's giving the class? And, you know, those people. Or they thought that, you know, should be okay for the beginning devotees. It's very important, this separation between men and women. But when you're little, you know, for Krishna's service. Conceit is really, that's the word. We become conceited. We think that we're really hot stuff and we don't need to do these things anymore. We're advanced. I mean, why am I a sannyasi? Why am I a GBC man? Why am I a guru if I'm not advanced? Why are all these people saying you're so advanced unless I'm advanced? And if I'm advanced, I might as well act advanced. What does an advanced devotee do? Well, he's spontaneous. You know, he acts on his own inspiration, not simply by regulative principles. He does what he's inspired to do, what Krishna inspires him. And then where is he next? Well, Krishna has just inspired him to, you know, get involved with someone's wife. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srinadapi Sunichan, we should always be humble. We just read this the other day. If one becomes carried away by followers, carried away by wealth, he becomes slack. And this is, I was thinking about this word, becomes slack. And we see that. Someone's practicing for so many years, and they get slack. He's coasting. He's working on his past credit and doesn't realize that his past credit is being spent. And he's not getting more credit. What happens when you do, you know, you're on vacation, you're spending the money you have, and you're not making more money? It's going to run out. But we see that someone comes to a very high level by all the credit that he's gotten from all of his devotional service, but he's not getting more credit. The disciples are getting the credit for him. One doesn't realize that the foundation is not strong. Now the building is getting higher and higher, but the foundation is not strong. So bhava grows in the heart of a devotee who is strictly following the regular principles in good association. Who's absorbed in hearing, chanting, serving, not getting weak. We should see this. We should see who's absorbed in this. Sanatana Goswami. Look at the Goswamis. What is that? Sankhyapurva kanama gana natibhi kalo basan nikrito. They were offering, they were circumambulating Govardhan Hill, they were chanting so many rounds. You look at the regulative principles of the Goswamis. About Sanatana Goswami, it said his sadhana was like a lion in the stone. Prabhupada saw some woman, every day she was carrying water from the Jamuna for Radha Damodar or some, maybe her own temple. And you know, in the cold weather, warm weather, old lady carrying this water, Prabhupada said, simply for this, she'll go back to Godhead. You know, this is sadhana. Every day I have to bring this water for the deity. This is sadhana. What's the result of sadhana? Bhav. Sadhana is not an end in itself. It's not that we're doing sadhana for the sake of sadhana. Our objective is bhav. our objective. Bhav means the beginning of things. There is a goal to this process. But you don't get the goal just by trying to jump to the goal line. By sadhana and by the mercy of devotees, one attains the goal. Anukramishati, step by step. Narad Muni was serving, he was hearing, and one thing led to another, and soon he was Narad Muni. The other examples given like that, following the regular principle, and because those regulative principles are so rich, because they stimulate our devotional consciousness, because they awaken our real consciousness, then we put aside all material interests, we become absorbed in the spiritual interest, and our life becomes successful. Our time is up. It's to be noted that one can also achieve bhav simply by the special mercy of Krishna or a devotee. We talked about that, by a word, by a glance, simply by heartfelt good wishes. But that's uncommon. That's not the usual way of going about it. So we haven't spent time on it here. The main thing is really getting absorbed in these activities of sadhana bhakti, so that by following, gradually we'll come to the mature stage. And then automatically, no one's going to have to say, you should hear about this, you should hear about that. You will come. Everything in time. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says patience. Utsaha. Everything fits. Utsaha, enthusiasm. Nishchaya, confidence, this is the right thing. Dharya, patience. If I'm not patient, I'll mess myself up that way. If I'm not enthusiastic, I'll mess myself up another way. Enthusiasm must be there, patience must be there. Okay? All right, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay, what kind of little toy do we have here? Okay.
Yes. Something.
Get this one.